I guess I don't know, man. I must have turned off the cue, Dave. We expect to hear the woman say Blog Talk Radio. This is Ulysses Butch Slaughter. I'm here with Dave Freeman. You are listening to Sex in the Struggle. We normally get this cue at the beginning of the show, and I don't know if maybe I turned it off by mistake, but we're going to get on with the show. What's up, Dave? Good to have you here, brother.
Hey man, how are you? Tell me about it.
I'm doing extremely well, man. Doing extremely well, and excited to be here again another Tuesday. It appears that our audience, my friend, every week it looks like new people are joining us. It looks like more people are finding out about Sex and the Struggle, and more people are starting to get what it is that we're talking about. And if they're not quite getting it, there certainly are some people out there that are curious around what we're talking about. And so for those of you that are tuned in to Sex and the Struggle, I want to give you some numbers right away. If you are interested in calling in, you can call 657-383-0185. Again, that's 657-383-0185. 0185. Right now, it's just a little bit after 9 o'clock. We will do this up until 10 Eastern time, and we do this every week from 9 p.m. Eastern until 10 p.m. Eastern. We call it Sex and the Struggle, and you are welcome to join us. Brother Jay, we've been at this for a while, man. I think we probably might be stuck with the show at this point, man.
That feels good to me. It's been, what, about 7 months now? This is
Yeah, man.
July. I think we started in January. Yeah.
We are pushing 7 months. And as I was thinking about what it is that we could get into this evening, I thought about, you know, this thing that happens in relationships, this thing that happens in, I guess, in life in general, man, where you have something that's going on, and you're trying to keep it fresh. You know, you're trying to keep it hot. And so I thought, well, what a perfect thing to do this evening. Why don't we talk about keeping sex strong? Why don't we talk about
Yeah.
how you keep it hot? So I want to talk about, you know, how do you keep this thing hot? We get on here every week, and we are wanting people to listen to the things that we're talking about. We're wanting people to explore the things that we're talking about. And there's some work that we put into this. We want to keep it hot for people. And so
That's right, yeah.
that's what I want to talk about this evening, man. I want to talk about what do you do? What do you do to keep this thing hot? How do you
Right.
how do you keep sex hot in your relationships? A lot of times people don't think about this. They don't study. And you and I talk about this all the time, man. We practice. So there's a way that we're always thinking about this. How do you
Yeah,
keep
so
sex hot?
yeah, I don't know if the Davis sisters are joining us tonight, but one of the things that they bring that I find so amazing is just the level of depth they have and knowledge and the study of sex, of adult sexual education. They have degrees in this, and they can, you know, you and I talk about this from our experience, and we're both very experiential people, but they've got some knowledge about, you know, some things that there's been a lot of work behind this in the sense of academic, you know, the academic viewpoint of sex and taking a step back and doing performing studies. I haven't had a conversation with them about, you know, what their theses might have been, but I think that would be an interesting one.
I totally agree, man. I totally agree that before we got on, you and I were talking about people's surprise at this conversation, the way that sometimes people are wondering, well, what are they talking about with this sex and the struggle thing? And what is there to talk about when it comes to sex?
Right.
And it's like it's this weird conversation. A lot of times people just think it's this weird, immature conversation that you're having around something that is so well understood that there's really nothing to talk about. And I
Right.
think you and I would agree that there's a lot that is misunderstood in this conversation. There's a lot that people take for granted that they know, and they really don't know. And there's always something to learn. And this is the most intimate, I think sex, Khalil Gibran said it, he says sex is everything. And I think that sex, as we know it, sexual intercourse, is one of the most vulnerable, intimate activities that human beings
right.
engage in, that there's always something to talk about. And that's why we do this every week
yeah.
at 9 o'clock here on Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, so I'll talk about one thing. You know, last week we spent a large part of the show talking about this retreat that I'm just back from, and how amazing that was as, you know, a retreat that focused on practice. You know, we called that the advanced practice retreat, and we were looking at how do you take some of these you know, we talk about sex, but other types of practices also that are sexual in nature, but how do you put those into a set of parameters, a structure such that you can create something that you can exercise on some regular interval, whether it's, you know, every morning at 6 o'clock, you have your sex practice, or every evening at 7 o'clock, you know, something that you can commit to and say, this is what I do as my practice. But, you know, one of the things that that I'd like to give a lot of credit to is for myself, my clarity around what this is to me really came through some of these discussions that we've been having.
Mm-hmm.
So I talked about, you know, Tazima and Frenchie and the and also Bridge called in, and she had a lot of depth about BDSM. And just giving us just an overload of information about, you know, how do you get into these sex practices? What are some of the resources out there that are available? And I just loved it. I loved every minute of it. And then when I took a step back and looked at that from my own perspective, I realized that, well, I'm still defining my own area. I'm still defining, you know, what turns me on. Why am I doing this? Why are you and I having this conversation? And
right.
then, you know,
right.
the clarity around practice. And
right.
and so one of the things that came out of this last retreat, as I finished that up, I realized I had the vision that whole retreat was about is touch as a practice.
Right, right.
Touch as a practice.
Right. I like that. I absolutely like
yeah.
that.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
And
so,
there's this thing, man,
you know,
I mean, a very basic thing there, Dave, when you talk about touch as a practice, it might sound
uh-huh.
simple to some people, but I'm asking the listeners to simply ask themselves, how often do they intentionally touch? How often are they
right.
intentionally touched? I mean, that's just a very basic
uh-huh.
question. And I think without it going like really deep into sex, just very
uh-huh.
basic touch. A reflection on that is a profound reflection for many people.
That's right. There was a quote from, what was that movie? It was a 2004 movie called Crash with,
yes.
What's his name? Don Cheadle. Don, you remember
that's
that
right.
movie?
Yeah,
so,
I do. I remember that
opening,
line too.
Yeah. yeah, that's right. I paraphrase it a bit. The sense of touch. We brush past people. People bump into us. In our city, nobody touches us. I think we miss that touch so much that we crash into each other just so we can feel something.
Yep.
Man, the moment I heard that line, that's the opening line of that movie. It's such a powerful statement.
I totally agree, man. And I think, again, for all the things that people talk about throughout the course of their days, people talk about a lot of stuff throughout the course of the day. All kinds of constipating, paralyzing bullshit. They talk about a lot of
uh-huh.
stuff. And to talk about touch, to spend time talking about touch, for some people, and I'm going off of conversations that I've had, for some people it just sounds like, you know, there's other shit to do besides touching people. And, you know,
right.
that is just something that's like, what you do when you ain't got nothing else to do. That's how a lot of people see it.
Uh-huh.
You know, you do that when you've got nothing else to do. It's not something that you intentionally put your attention on. And you
uh-huh.
and I beg to differ. That we
That's
we
right.
say that that is priority, that is a top priority in our lives.
Uh-huh. Definitely. Definitely. And, you know, that I enjoyed so much, you know, the discussion we had about that at the retreat and just sort of opening up the retreat. One of the, we talked about practices, and one of the participants there had something really that really hit home. We were talking about practice, and I asked the question, why do you practice? And, you know, people talked about muscle memory. They talked about doing something so that when you're in the moment, it, you know, you don't have to think about how to react. And this was practice with, you know, it ranged from target practice with firearms to music practice to sports. Yeah, so all different types of practices. And what this one person said was you don't practice until you can do it right. You practice until you cannot do it wrong. And I just thought about that and said, wow, that's a really powerful statement to say you're going to keep at something until, you know, if it's a martial art, for example, you're just walking down the street and something happens. And before you realize that someone was posing a threat to you, you've already taken care of the situation. Your body just reacted the right way.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, as a martial artist, man, I can certainly relate to that, that there's a way that I move around in the world. It's just a natural thing that I do. I'm not giving it a lot of thought, but wherever I am, my tendency is to be, my body is awake wherever I am, especially when I'm around people. And when I say it's awake, that doesn't mean that it's that I'm tense, that I'm nervous or anything like that, but I feel sensations around me all the time. And I owe that to the practice. I absolutely owe that to the practice, you know, and the years of practice. And I will continue to practice for that very reason. And we bring this back to the practice of sex, being sex practitioners. Being a sex practitioner helps you to feel and hear and see and taste everything in an entirely different way, Dave. It really does. It changes so much. And again, for people who might be listening, it is one thing to listen to this. It's an entirely different thing to engage this conversation. So we invite you to engage this conversation. We've been at it now for about 12 minutes. We'll be at it for another 45 minutes. You are invited to engage this conversation. And it looks like I got my sister Frenchie calling in. I'm going to take her off mute. What's good, Frenchie?
Hey, good people. Hello, good evening.
How you doing?
We were
Frenchie?
Talking about you. We talked you up, sister. We were talking about the Davis sisters.
I thought I felt something.
Mm-hmm. It's that thing that we were talking about. When you practice sensuality and sexuality, you can feel stuff from hundreds of miles away.
Absolutely. Got that kinetic energy going on.
Hey, you know what? I don't know if we heard your voice since we did Don't Wait Fornicate.
Isn't that horrible? I missed
you
guys.
We missed you as well. And you know, I'm sure that there are listeners out there that were dying to hear your take on it.
Yeah, and oh, my. Yeah. You know, there was so much... To that evening, I really appreciated the audience opening up about their experiences, most importantly, you know, what they got out of, you know, the spiritual aspect, particularly with Rev Dev when she talked about what fornication was, the original interpretation.
Right.
And, you know, that really made me think about when we're talking about touch and how it's not a normal thing for people. And I think that, of course, religion, as it has been politicized, and religion has really created its own type of, like, law enforcement, right? And... as I've been reading this amazing book called Sex and the Constitution, and it talks about the history of how religion became law. And, you know, I have to say that it's a lot easier to fool people than it is to convince people that they've been fooled.
I hear you. I totally agree with you there.
And, that you know, people don't want to absorb that. And so as educators, you know, we come across those people who would just rather be under the guise of foolery. It's easier than changing their whole system around. And I can empathize with that as well. But the challenge is, like, the system is going against everything that you are, and you're still willing to hold on to it. I find that really interesting. So that, you know, that's why we're saying don't lay fornicate and bringing it to Chester.
Mm-hmm. That is right. And that's also part of what we talk about when we talk about the struggle. I was reading something earlier today when somebody was saying that struggle is a choice. And I understand in the context of that article what that writer was saying is that, you know, sometimes we actually do decide that we are going to have a difficult time or be in a difficult relationship with a person or a situation. We actually do choose that. But there's also a way that things appear to us and we don't actually see them coming, and we have to work with them. We can use the term work, struggle. We have to figure out how to manage them and be managed by them to reconcile the energy that's at play. So struggle leads to a particular kind of reconciliation, and I'm always talking about the perpetual reconciliation process where we're always doing the point and counterpoint in life with people and situations, and it's all about reconciliation. But what you're talking about from a social standpoint, Frenchie, is something that cannot be denied, that there are systems, ideas in this world that we have to deal with, we have to manage in order for us to get to where we're trying to go. The Constitution being a thing that all of us say that we live by, this set of rules and principles that all of us live by, it's something that we confront every day. And it's the type of thing that we confront in a way, it's almost like a quiet confrontation that we have with the Constitution. And it's a quiet confrontation that we have with laws.
Yeah, I want to ask one question. When we say Constitution, are you talking about the Constitution of a government, like the Constitution of the United States, or are you also talking about, you know, a person's individual constitution, their own personal makeup and the rules that they live by?
Well, I mean, but those people are still under the guise of the worldly or the American Constitution, right, which is also formed through religion as well. So, you know, unless you develop a taste for other ideologies and begin to make questions, you're still going to follow those laws, and thus those laws are going to help develop and solidify who you identify as.
Right.
I guess I was thinking about that.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I was just thinking about that, and, you know, we've talked about this before where, you know, we all have, you know, there are boundaries out there set by the law, set by the Constitution, set by, you know, whatever government you live in. And I'm talking general specifically because, you know, we're going worldwide with this, so we're not just limited to the United States. But you know, even within that boundary, you know, a lot of us, we don't even get to that boundary because we've got our own boundaries that we're, you know, living within. We've set boundaries ourselves. We set these rules that we, because we don't believe, you know, we're contained by them. We are not giving ourselves the freedom to open up and expand to our fuller selves. We don't enjoy ourselves. We're afraid to.
Dave, that's what I refer to as the degrees of captivity. I talk with people about this a lot. So there are these always these different forces that are at play. It could be, as what Frenchie's talking about, the constitution of a government. And it could be simultaneously the constitution or makeup of an individual, the makeup of a family. You know, there's so many things that we are struggling with, so many things that we are trying to reconcile at the same time, that being aware of these things is really important. So I like this conversation because people will ask us about struggle. What are we talking about when we say sex in the struggle? Well, we're talking about sex within the degrees of captivity, whether it be a government, whether it be the individual, whether it be the family, whether it be whatever, you name it. Those different aspects of struggle are very real, and as real as we see them to be. I want to remind the callers that if they want to give us a call, they can call 657-383-0185. Again, that's 657-383-0185. It seems like last week we had some 50 listeners, and I want to make sure that if you're out there and you're listening and you want to call in, that you know that you can call here at any time. My name is Ulysses Butch Slaughter. I am joined by David Freeman and Frenchie Davis, and perhaps we'll hear from Sister Tazima Davis a little later. I want to go back to what we were talking about at the beginning, Dave, before Frenchie joined us, and that was this idea of what does it mean to keep sex hot with all of the things that we're dealing with the Constitution internally, with the Constitution nationally, with whatever it is that we got to deal with. I think sometimes we get to the point where it's like, you know, we get bored and we have this ridiculous notion that we've seen it all and we've done it all. And so when it's time to engage intimately, it's like we go back to the same old tricks. We go back to the same old habits.
That's right.
And so I want to really get explicit here about what does it take? How do you keep your sex super hot?
Oh, absolutely. And Frenchie, you missed the beginning, but I started with giving, just showing great gratitude to you and to Zima for all the depth that both of you bring to this with your background in adult sexual education. I mean, I learn a lot every time we have this conversation. And for me, my clarity around what I'm interested in this came out of a lot of these conversations. And that clarity started to form around just the word practice and what type of forming a practice, taking some activity, and what we're talking about here is sexual activity, and putting that into something that you can practice. And Ulysses and I were talking about, what does it mean to practice, and what do you get out of practice? And we landed just before you called in on the concept of practicing until you can't do it wrong.
Is everyone there?
Yeah, we're here.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Thank you. On behalf of myself and the other David sister, one of the things that I think that is important to keeping it hot is not assuming that what you first did to keep it hot is going to be the same thing that you always do to keep it hot, and that it requires communication and the will to ask what somebody wants. I don't think that people really explore asking what makes you happy. To keep it hot. Like, I think that many women will just assume, all right, sit on it, lick it, and twerk a bit, and you should be good. No. But, again, I think that there's a protocol that people go through. There's a sexual pattern that a lot of times people experience. And then at some point when an infidelity arises, and they can't really explain, like, we're not doing it for one another like we used to. You know, and our hormones change, our patterns change, we change. And so we have to communicate our changes, and we have to ask about our changes. There, you know, they can change from year to year or years as women get older, as men get older. Sometimes the body don't bend the way it used to bend. I mean, there are just a lot of things. So I think that that's really important.
And as
yeah,
I
agree with that.
Coming in. Dave, go ahead, please. I'm going to bring Tazima in just so to know that she's on the line with us.
All right. I really like what you said, Frenchie. And I think, you know, a lot of people get into that whole hang-up of, you know, trying to learn a specific technique and thinking that the technique is what's going to get them over. So they develop this technique as a crutch. And I believe that learning, you know, knowledge is a good thing. It's good and it's sexy. But there are there's nothing as sexy. There are not many things as sexy as a sexy mind. So, you know, there are things you can learn. They're very beneficial. But there's also just bringing your level of attention to another person, to your own body, so you can feel what's going on in yourself. You know, once you stop putting your attention on some technique that you're trying to memorize and trying to make sure you do it right every time, take sex as a meditative practice. Just really drop into that so that you feel every little bit of what you're doing. Go on that whole journey. You know, don't try to memorize and like race to the end.
Agreed.
One of the things that I like about what we're saying is that it's implied here, but part of practicing is studying. And study means paying attention, not just, of course, reading, but studying and paying attention to your partner or partners, whoever you're with, actually paying attention to what is going on for them, but also paying attention to what's going on with you. Instead of just kind of jumping into intimacy in a blind way, and I'm talking about physical intimacy here, instead of jumping into it in a blind way as if, again, there's a one-size-fits-all, there's one trick I got, and it works before it'll keep working, to remain open for what might come up. I think that's a huge part of keeping it hot, because you got to keep your attention. You really want to stay my man Childish Gambino says you want to stay woke. You got to stay woke in this process. Tazima, I hear you. You there, sister?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
It's
hey,
good to
Mr.
Have
Davis.
You.
Hey. Hey there. Yeah. I was hoping to underscore the word attention specifically because that's actually one of the things that we're looking for in intimacy. Attention goes with intimacy. And sure, like, you could be fucking, and it can be, like, straight up physical, but I promise you, if you're paying a lot of attention, it's going to be hotter. So whatever you're doing, whatever it is, whatever, if it's casual, if it's, you know, this person with whom you've been intimate with, like, so many times, you've been together 20, 30 years, you've been together 10 weeks. If you pay attention in the moment, you get present to yourself in the here and now, like right now, right here, what's this breath, what's this sensation, what's happening with me, what's happening with them. And actually, Ulysses, you mentioned people being present with the other person, paying attention to the other person. You actually get even more information paying attention to yourself. You can get key insights when you tune into yourself about what's going on for the other person. Sure, you can ask. Sure, you can make an inference. But if you can stay with yourself, that's actually the first place to pay attention. And that's some of the hottest goodness is when you're tuned into yourself, and then you can actually really and truly be with someone else because you're present with yourself, you're present in the moment, and then you can have attention that will be actually highly attuned to the other person.
I definitely agree with that.
That takes practice. Go ahead.
Yeah, I really like what you just said, Tazima, especially because, you know, yeah, we can always ask. We can always ask in the moment, you know, what are you feeling? What do you need? What do you desire? But that's going to take the person – that requires you to come out of that moment and get into your head to answer that question. When somebody feels you and you're just on the ride and you're both in sync and you can feel that energy together, that's an amazing experience.
Agreed. I would also add humor, because particularly for women, women, most often you will hear a woman ask for a man with a sense of humor. She does not recognize, though, in her brain, when she laughs, the same amount of, almost the same amount of endorphins that are released during orgasm are released when a woman laughs. It's not, sorry guys, y'all don't get all of that shit like we do, but you know, it's a great, you know, equivalent, and so it's also, laughter is also very arousing. So, you know, sometimes I say, you know, don't take yourself so seriously. Have a good time in that moment, because if she's laughing, she's also aroused. She's also, you know, getting moist and wet. Like, these are good things. She'll start to open up
yep.
to you, and you definitely want that as well. You know, if you just having some hostile-ass sex, okay, but I'm telling you that there's an even better return when there's, you know, laughter and smiling mixed up in there.
I
want to jump in on that laughter and wetness and all of that. and that's specifically, I love that you mentioned that, Frenchie, about the hormones and the chemical equivalent
mm-hmm.
to sexuality. Because when women, and this is something that one of my very good friends, she coaches men for their confidence with women. And she talks about how, the men, if men are being attentive to a woman and she feels comfortable with him, she'll actually start giggling. She'll start moving her body. She gets disarmed, actually, if he's
mm-hmm.
paying attention in a way that has her tickled. I mean, men or people who are interested in women want to be tickled. We want to be a lot of our lives are like we care about so many things. It's, men would be crazy if they knew all the things that women concern themselves with over time.
Yes,
or,
they would.
You know,
yes, they would.
We care about so much. So if you can tickle
yeah.
us and sort of get us out of that, like, sort of very tight wind, and then
yeah,
we start
you,
moving
you
our bodies.
Yeah, you got to
get
tickle me Elmo mode.
Exactly. And just keep her there. Keep her there, you know?
That's right. You know,
don't be
I really
man.
Love
you don't have to be a funny man.
I really love that. And I love the way that both of you are sharing that right now. Because the way that you're saying this is sort of opening up, and I'm reflecting back to moments I've had in the past where you know, a woman is going through something, a partner is going through something, and just has her mind you know, stuck into, you know, things that are going on in the workday that day or things that are coming up that are causing a level of anxiety. And we start laughing. And, yeah, you know, a lot of times it's not that I'm saying something so funny, but it's just it's that energy, that it's like breaking up that energy that's holding that anxiety and just allowing
mm-hmm.
something else to come through. And that's an amazing experience.
Yeah, tickle me Elmo.
It feels
Elmo
great.
Becomes fuck me Elmo real fast if you
real
oh,
fast.
That's hot.
Know what you're doing.
Real fast. Real fast. I tried to tell one of my best guy friends. He's a short, kind of stocky dude. He has a beard. But you know, he's a short dude. He's shorter than me. He might be 5'4", 5'5", something like that. And his woman is tall. They recently got married. They're awesome together. But he would try to blame it on the beard. And I was like, no, it's not the beard, dude. It's not the beard. You are hilarious. You disarm women. Like, that's what it is. Like, our attraction to you, you know, is about disarming us. Like, don't we take ourselves seriously enough? Like, that tight woman who's, like, over there kind of with her RBF. Now, you know, RBF is a thing. Resting bitch face is a thing. And she's over there. She's not really wanting to have that face on. If you can break into that, like, that's what we want. We want someone to penetrate that. And one of the best ways to penetrate that feeling that we might
be in.
Unintended. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah,
that's
fine.
The best way to penetrate that is with the goodness of, you know, some laughter and take it easy and why you being silly, why you looking like that, you know. But you have to have a rapport with her, by the way. So don't do this.
Suzanne, I will tell you, the most untraditional looking men are a lot of times the funniest, and they get all of these women, and dudes are always trying to figure out what the hell.
Frenchie, I gotta stop you right there because I'm curious. You said untraditional.
Y'all know who I'm talking about. You know that I'm gonna call them untraditional. They special. You know, the ones
okay,
that are like,
okay.
You know, they titty height. You know, they come up to your nipples.
Yeah.
You know, they gotta stand on the ladder or you know, they walk with a limp.
Sometimes that limp is because they packing. I mean, for real, like.
Right. But however,
I have to
be a surprise.
I have to also add, because I'm 6 feet tall, and when I see somebody who, as you said, titty height, sometimes I'm a little bit envious.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, that's
hey,
very good.
I'm going to have to call in as a guest.
Okay.
So I'm hanging out in the guest room. Y'all go ahead and do your thing. I'm enjoying the show right now.
I was just
did
gonna
just
say
leave
this,
us by
you're
ourselves?
Listening to. Was that?
Did he leave us by ourselves? Did he leave us to our own sexual vices?
No.
Yes,
but
he did.
I am gonna call out that this is Sex and the Struggle, and you are listening to would be Ulysses Butch Slaughter, and I'm Tazima Davis, and I'm here with Frenchie Davis and with David, and I'm going to forget your last name.
David Freeman.
David Freeman, that's right.
That's
right.
That's all right. You're doing
Freeman.
Great.
You know, you got the perfect last name for the struggle, Dave. You're a free man.
Freeman. Word.
That's right.
Word.
Free your man. Free your man, Freeman. Free him.
Let him out.
Hey, can I ask the sisters a question? Because one of the things I came in on was this whole, you know, tickle me, Elmo, and how we can quickly go to fuck me, Elmo. And I'm going to want some offline training on
fuck
that.
Me now, fuck me now.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Yes.
One of the things that sometimes it actually irritates me, I'm easily irritated, but sometimes one of the things that irritates me is how women will say that they, you know, they want a guy with a sense of humor. And I got a pretty good sense of humor, at least I'd like to believe. And part of me is like, why do I got to fucking make you laugh? And suddenly you two just like answered the 20-year question for me. I've been asking myself this question for 20 years. Why do I got to fucking make her laugh?
Secret.
You know,
the secret.
Yeah, here you are.
Because she's getting off.
Resting bitch face. Yeah, I heard one of y'all talking about the resting bitch face, and I'm like, see, I've seen their face before. I'm not interested in making that person laugh. And maybe I should be. I need to give this a different thought. So I appreciate you all clearing that up for me.
And by the way, I couldn't penetrate. I'm gonna make it real graphic. So one of the best best parts of sex for me. I think I speak for some women, maybe a lot of women, but the best part of sex for me is being penetrated. So, like the first little, like, just get both when I'm in resting bitch face, or I'm concerned, or I'm worried, or afraid of like whatever is happening in my life, and like him just starting to get in there, like, what you doing in there? Just come on out of there, quick! Interrupted. I love to be interrupted when I'm in my shit. Like, just interrupt me. Like, I don't want to be there. I don't know how to get out. You are an unknown element in my world, and you're going to be funny right now? Awesome. And then I turn into fuck me Elmo. Like, and then that first part of being penetrated, like that first inch, like the brothers are so busy like trying to get longer and bigger. I'm like, it's really in the first inch. Like, the joy is in the first inch. No one knows.
Tickle me Elmo,
depth.
Fuck me Elmo, and let me go to sleep,
right.
Elmo.
Yeah.
Elmo.
Right.
You know, I never saw these characters on Sesame Street, just so you know.
Nah.
But maybe I can.
Why do you think they all got along? Why do you think Mr.
Right.
Snuffleupagus' trunk is so big?
Seriously. Something else going on.
You know, he moving slow. He ain't no two-minute brother now. He take his time. Everybody want to hug Big Bird because he's so
right.
big. Like,
right?
You know, he know how to make him laugh. He does. Yep. Big Bird does.
Right.
Don't sleep.
That's right.
Wow.
So when I'm on some shit, any woman who's on some shit, like, we're upset. Like, we want to be interrupted when,
yeah.
I mean, there's a time when we want to be serious, and I think most women will let you know, but if you have rapport with a woman, and you know her, or you're getting to know her, like, test it out. Interrupt us, because we would prefer to feel better, and we don't know how to
yeah.
get out all the time.
Yeah, I had a partner. He was... We were initially friends. We were friends for many years because I could never get into him. He was a comedian, though. He made everybody laugh. But at some point, he started making just me laugh, like one-on-one. And the walls just went down. He was not my physical type. I couldn't even smell this man. He was not my physical type. But did he smile in my face? Did he know how to draw me out?
Mm-hmm.
He knew how to get me there, and it was so beautiful. And I was just like, "You son of a bitch, goddamn, took
right.
me Elmo."
Right. Right.
Yes. There it is. So, fellas, better
well,
take
I
some
think,
improv classes or something, because.
Yeah, I think this call has been like the most educational for anybody who. has had these questions like, how do I connect with a woman? How do I, you know, how do I get my woman to open up? How do I, you know, why do I always have, you know, these arguments, these issues? Like, what's wrong? This has been like a breakthrough call. This is it right here.
Mm.
And you know, Dave, I think
would
that's
also
important.
Say,
I just want to add that it's not from an intentional manipulation standpoint. So I think that that's an important point to underscore, that, you know, we're
Agreed.
Not doing that just to get our way. We're doing that because
Agreed.
We care. I mean,
care.
It's the type of
exactly.
thing that you do with
right.
really sincerely care, and not it's not a means to an end. It's because it's the way you feel about the woman. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Bridget.
I was just going to also add, I mean, a lot of people don't try this, but they really should. If, you know, you're having one of those days where you're getting on each other's nerves, and let's say that an argument ensues, you should argue with your clothes off. You should take
mm-hmm.
your clothes off when you argue. At some point, you really do
that.
Realize, like, the shit is really kind of, it's kind of trivial.
Right.
And there's a lot of arguments, maybe not all, but there are a lot of arguments you can get through with your clothes off. No lie. True story.
Right.
True story.
Right. I agree.
Really,
I think we should
start
make that a practice.
And you're like, look, I can't stand your motherfucking mama. And you're taking off your shoes, the ass be talking all that shit. And you're taking off your shirt and everything. And dick start getting hard. I mean, it's just like, wow. Like, all you have to do is, like, take your clothes off. You know, and she taking her bra off. And you can't be talking about my mama, titty pop out. I appreciate that. You better respect my mama. Panties come down. Like, you know, you like, okay, well, you know, I'm going to see my mama by myself. What we going to do? Like, you get there.
I like that. I like it. I think we should make that a practice.
Try it. You got to
practice
it. It's not easy. It is not easy.
That's right.
But you should argue with your clothes off. It's very difficult to argue naked.
Yeah. The first couple of times you might need a reminder. Like, no, I heard that tone. Get your clothes off.
Right.
Just start taking your clothes off. An argument ensues, and you at home. Be mindful. You in a safe space. take your clothes off, and see what happens.
I love it.
And again, these are not one size fits all, but I do want to, or, you know, it's not a cookie cutter, it's not a follow this pattern,
right,
color by number kind of situation. But what I do want to say is that there's a dual concept here of getting naked. Like, without clothes on, you are more naked, you are more revealed, you're literally
vulnerable.
More revealed, and you're literally more vulnerable. That is hotter than you being protected with your clothes, than you being defensive. It's hard to be defensive whilst naked. What are you going to do?
Yeah, because you can't walk
like
out naked either. You can't walk out naked.
You got to stay in it. And to practice something like this, the last piece I want to say on this is to practice something like this in a couple, because I work with committed couples, it's important for you to be committed to what's beyond the fight. The fight is not what you're about. It's not about winning. You're committed to the thing beyond the fight. What are we building? Why do I care so much in this moment? I'm going to take these panties off, but why do I care so much right now? It's because I care about us working this thing out. So caring more about working it out than caring about being right is a huge piece if you're going to do the strip argument.
That's right, and I also think that, well, I see a brilliance behind all of this. I mean, this is brilliant, but I think that the moment someone raises their voice at me and I start pulling off my clothes, you know, that's gonna like it just like shedding that layer of clothes. It sheds a layer of what's the word I'm looking for?
Bravado.
Like the pettiness. Well, I'm thinking it sheds a small layer. You know, all this, I guess you're right. It's probably the bravado, my ego, other stuff.
It's defense.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, you shed all that other stuff.
Yeah, a man
so that
can
you're
be
gonna
hard
stand
as Tim.
There.
He can be hard as Tim. Let some Tims and them socks come off. You know, y'all like to keep y'all damn socks on for what, I don't know. But let some socks come off. Find out.
I don't know about that. I like touching toes, Richie. I got to tell you, I don't like socks on. I like to touch toes.
See, we got to get the rest of yours off. But, you know, some of the brothers, they got to walk around. When they come out of the gym, they start coming out of that. Yep. It's just like a dude with a baseball cap on and he got a receding hairline. Like, there's a vulnerability to it.
If we were to look at this as a preemptive thing, so we're talking about right now what happens when shit gets tough. And I know we can't avoid shit getting tough. Sometimes it just gets tough. But if we were looking at this from a preemptive standpoint, I'm talking about how do you keep it hot so that tough times don't last and tough times are easier to manage. So when I was thinking about this conversation earlier, I'm thinking, what do you do to keep one another on your toes? And so it's the thing of, you know, how do you decide, let's go out in the park and fuck like we did when we were in high school. Let's eat food off of one another. Let's do something to get us off the mark so that when those tough times come, we've already practiced how to get off the mark. And so I want to encourage our listeners to think about not waiting until shit gets bad to start taking your clothes off. I want to encourage you to keep it hot before shit gets bad. Because when you do that, you've got something to fall back on. You know, I was just writing all kind of shit in preparation for this show. But I mean, like, what about a tongue-only session? You know, what about a blindfold session? What about just knowing all kinds of stuff that you can do to keep it hot? And then when those tough times come around, you know, it's like, hey, we know
how
we're going to settle
this. For $4.99 and order those heart-shaped nipple covers, you know. I'm just, you know, putting that out there.
$4.99?
Yeah, like $4.99.
Okay. I'm a Prime member. I'm going to see if I can get those shipped to me tomorrow.
Yeah, they're long.
You can.
But they got all types of shapes. They have all types of shapes. I personally
hearts
like the heart
stars.
Shape. Yeah. Little flowers.
I'm kind of a star.
They're just fun, and, you know. Your boo come in, you know, you're taking off your clothes, and then pow, you know, like no bra or anything, but it got the little hearts on it. Like, hey, boo, yeah, you know, you can do a little something like that.
See, that's what I'm talking about, Fridgie. Again, that's
and it's inexpensive.
Right.
So I would like to name here what I'm hearing in the conversation that we're having right now, and that is what we're talking about is novelty. So part of the thing that we get into is we get into, well, I know this, you're going to do this, and then I'm going to do that, and then you do this, and then I do that. It's like rote, you know? And that rote is not hot. Like, that's the combination thing that David was talking about earlier. It's not fun anymore when you know what's going to happen. If someone gave you the plans to, or if you got the game with all the instructions of how to get through the game, it's no fun. So we love novelty. We love novelty. We love things being a little different.
Yeah.
And you can actually bring novelty without nipple caps, without, you know, extra sauce, without, you know, a special game. You can bring the special game too. Do that. But you can do so with very little, but just paying attention. Just checking out, well, what can I do slightly differently? What would be fun for me? What would be fun for me? What I know that my partner likes this, this, and this. So let me, what if I do it in a different order or whatever? It's like, it's what you would do when you were little, when you would play. This is adult play. Playtime. You have a play date.
Well,
we're going to see what happens.
Davis, you know what I would add to that, that people are not well practiced at all, is hugging.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
People do not know how to fucking hug. Oh, damn, I hate a bad hugger. Oh, that is the
horrible.
Worst. That is the bad hugging
horrible.
Is like creepy. I mean, it's like, oh, like roaches crawling all over your body. Like, we really must be vigilant and because we don't even, too many people don't even hug their children before they leave for school. And then they wonder why their kids get all horny and bothered and go looking for it in the wrong places because we don't touch each other.
Right.
They're just looking for some touch.
It's the most inexpensive therapy. It's very inexpensive therapy. And we don't, like when you hug, you are literally supposed to breathe in that person. Your beats, your heartbeats are supposed to exchange. Like you, let motherfucker hug me right. I am like, woo! You know, panties to the ankle. Like,
fuck me ankle.
It's real
easy. Fuck me almost.
Yes.
Fuck me almost.
Yes. It's like, but that hug is so, don't laugh at us. That hug is really, really fundamental. And couples do not, like, hug enough. Everybody makes may not be a kisser, but you one thing you should practice is embracing one another, and that's in good times and in bad.
Right.
Yeah, I agree with that. A hug, it's very grounding. A lot of times, just because of something that's going on in my day or something that I'm anticipating or may have anxiety about, a good hug would just melt all that away.
It does.
Mm-hmm.
It does. It's forgiveness. It's love. It's nourishment. Is vulnerability.
And with your loved ones, it would be a really good practice for you to practice a heart side hug. Everybody pretty much sends their head to the left, so everybody leans to the left, so our open chest, the part that doesn't have the heart in, comes together. If you have a loved one, and I like to practice heart side hug with everybody, but you got to announce it or else you'll crash faces. Heart side hug means you have your head to the right. It's a little awkward in the beginning, but it feels really good, especially if you take it long. And then the other thing is, adult to adult, you press all of your body parts together, so hips as well. Some people lean in and they just give the shoulder hug. Lean all the way together. Yeah, hips together,
pelvis
belly
to pelvis.
Together, chest together, pelvis to pelvis, heart to heart. Heart side hug. It's a whole
Tickle
different
me
experience.
Elbow.
Take, yep, telling you. And don't be so quick to grabby. You know, leave my booty alone for a second. Let me just hug you. Hang on. Give me a minute.
Hey, I got something going down outside of Philadelphia in a city called Chester on September 16th. It's called Sex and the Struggle. And I'm in need of three people
That's my birthday.
Hey.
I'm in need of somebody with a birthday to be here to help make Sex and the Struggle, along with two people whose last names are Davis. Y'all need to get that on your calendar. Y'all need to get here. We're going to talk about this more, but we got 2 months. I'm going to be working my ass off to get you all here. I'm going to be putting this thing out all around the Philadelphia, Delaware, New Jersey area. I need my squad here for Sex and the Struggle.
Awesome. Cool. Thank you.
I hear word awesome. I need something else.
Hell
talk
yeah.
to me.
What do you need?
Right on.
I'm
I need y'all here. I need y'all help with me in the struggle. All right.
We there.
The struggle.
That's what I'm trying to hear. Well, we coming down to the last couple minutes. I want to thank you all, as always, for filling up my Tuesday evening, and I'm sure filling up the Tuesday evening of the many callers, the many listeners who tune in to Sex and the Struggle. This is going to be an incredible last 6 months of the year for us. And I'm so glad that we came through this first 6 months together, and we got some good stuff going on. So thank you all, as always. I'm looking forward to next Tuesday. I'm looking forward to September 16th. And to all of our listeners, all of the callers, thank you for tuning in. Check out Sex and the Struggle next week. I will talk with all of you over the next couple of days. And I look forward to doing this again next Tuesday. All right?
All right.
Cool. All right, everybody.
All right.
A good evening. Good night.
Good
Take
night.
Care.
Bye-bye.